You know, in 1983, Time magazine declared that stress was the epidemic of the 80s. What does that say about us 27 years later? If the 80s were the decade of stress, what would we call today's world? Since then, in those 27 years, we've welcomed into our lives cell phones, those helpful little tools, the internet, 24-hour news, self-managed retirement plans. The workplace has been revolutionized many times since then. So have the changes in the financial markets. Shopping choices have proliferated, making decision-making far more complex than ever. Beyond our control are the more global concerns of terrorism, one-world economy, and a supposed global warming. If someone were to ask you to describe life today in one word, my guess would be it would not include the word calm, serene, or peaceful. Because we live in a world of high anxiety and stress where we lack peace as a general rule. I'll just test to see if that's where you are right now. See if you can finish my sentences. I'm ready to throw in the, I'm at the end of my, I'm just a bundle of, my life is falling, I'm at my wits, I feel like resigning from the human. You knew those better than the fruits of the Spirit. There may be a problem here with your peace level. It's a good indicator. You know, with the lack of peace, stress may be America's number one health problem. The American Institute of Stress estimates that 75 to 90% of all visits to the primary care physician are for illness caused by or made worse by stress, including high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart disease. Stress and anxiety weighs the soul. Everyone wants peace of mind, but stress and anxiety do rule the day. Even last night as I'm checking my Yahoo account email, they had a list of stress symptoms, things that you can see. If you're not quite sure you're under stress, some of these may be beginning indicators of stress in your life. Normally, all you have to do is ask your spouse if you're stressed out, because they typically know. It's like you have this glowing red, you know, thing on your head saying, I'm stressed out, but you may not be aware of it because of your vantage point. But here in the Yahoo article on physical indicators of stress, see if you have any of these. Tweaked intense muscles. Eye twitching. You ever get that little eye twitch thing going on? Maybe you're a little stressed. Ragged cuticles. Some of that's because you bite them. Cavities are an indicator of stress. Grinding your teeth, or, I don't know, maybe you're not brushing. You might be stressed out. Rashes on your body may be an indicator, a physical indicator of stress. You start breaking out in hives. Nausea. You may be nauseous because of stress. Sleeplessness. Or sleepiness. You're going at 100 miles an hour and then you just crash because of the intense pressure. Forgetfulness. Some of that may be caused by stress. You blame it on older age, but maybe it's that you've got too much in here. Or confusion. Things that you normally would know, you're not so familiar with. How many of you have driven from your home to work and don't realize or remember whether there was a red light in the process, a green or red light? You got there and you went, I don't remember even the roads I drove on. You were in another world because of stress and anxiety and pressures and somewhere else. I mean, they talk about being on your cell phone while you're driving, how that ought to be illegal. I'm thinking if you're stressed out, you need to just stay home, because some of you are very dangerous. I've seen you on the road. You know, Proverbs tells us in 14:30, a tranquil heart is life to the body. And no wonder why our bodies begin to deteriorate when we don't have a tranquil heart. You know, there are basically three kinds of peace that we need in our lives. The first one is spiritual peace. And you can write these down if you have one of the inserts in your bulletins. Spiritual peace. It's that peace with God. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You realize we are at enmity with God. We were haters of God, taking the truths of God and suppressing them in order to live out our own desires and lusts. We were very self-centered, wanted to be our own gods. But we need peace with God, and only Jesus Christ can provide that. But there's also that emotional peace. Colossians 3:15 lets us know that, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." You need not only the peace with God, you need the peace of God in your life in order to function in this world, to have that peace and the calm in the midst of your storms. That can come from Christ. It only comes from Christ. That term rule there could also be translated in present-day vernacular, umpire. Someone who keeps the peace in the midst of all the chaos. Does the peace of Christ rule or umpire the events in your life? Letting things know where they can come and where they can't, when they're out of bounds. Peace of Christ rules here. And then there's the relational peace, which some of us do struggle with. We need spiritual peace, the peace with God, the emotional peace, the peace of God, and the relational peace, the peace with others, the peace with all men. If possible, Romans tells us, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You can't control other people, but you can control your response and your relational decisions and how you will interact with people. We need these kinds of peace. And doctors and counselors and even politicians promise that they can provide peace. But aren't they similar to the false prophets of Jeremiah's day, when in Jeremiah 6:14, saying, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. They can provide peace. No peace. Peace only comes from God, ultimately. How many peace treaties have been signed in the Middle East over the last 40 years? How many effective peace treaties have been signed in the Middle East over the last 40 years? People cannot provide peace. No matter how charismatic your president may be, or no matter how wonderful your present Congress may be, they can provide zero peace to you. You understand that? When God is replaced with government, you have failed to understand where peace comes from. Jesus said in John 14:27, which Chip has already quoted for us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." You notice here that peace is a gift from God. It's not something you earn. It's not something you work for. Jesus says, "I give you peace." It's His peace. It's free, like salvation. It's a peace that only He can give. And this peace that He gives you is different than what the world promises or what the world says is peace. And so that last portion, "Do not let your heart be troubled." I think where you put your heart is where you get your peace. Where do you put your heart? If you feel a lot of stress and anxiety in life, your heart may be in the wrong place. You may be focused on the wrong things. You may be settling your certainty in the wrong areas. Jesus says, "I've given you a gift. It's called peace. And I don't give like the world does, so let your heart not be troubled." Where is your heart leaning? More towards God in Christ and the peace He gives, or more towards the circumstances that are out there and you're hoping that things just work out? Your heart need not be troubled when it rests in the peace giver. I'm going to give you five pieces of peace today. Follow along in the time we've got. The first area we see with peace is that we need to obey God's principles. To obey God's principles. If we have Christ in our lives, He says, "I'm going to give you peace." Peace comes from Him, and we will find peace more often if we would obey His principles and the things He tells us. In Psalm 119, verses 165, 166, 167, "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly." Do you trust in the promises of God? And do you love God's word enough to let that be the solid truth that you believe? Or is this merely suggestion to you and the newspaper or the latest television programs that are providing information? Or are they on equal footing with the word of God? Where is your peace? Is it in the nightly news or is it in the word of God? I'll tell you which one is going to always be true. Doesn't matter what channel you watch on TV, there's liars on it. You know this? I know all of them are fair and balanced, but all of them have a slant to them as well. The Word of God is the only place to find peace. And sometimes we're a little anxious or stressed out because we're not obeying God's Word. We're nowhere near God's principles. Lord, why did you allow me to get in that wreck when I was driving 85 miles an hour down 285? Where's the principle here? You know, God, why is my family, just my children growing up, and they seem to just hate me and hate God? Or you ought to be thinking, how often have I spent time in God's Word individually and with them to influence their minds and hearts? The Word of God is where peace is found when we follow His principles. How much do we embrace His Word? And not just embrace it here and here, but here, where we actually do it. It's one thing to know intellectually many of God's truths. It's another thing to apply it. And God's word does not return void. If we would apply it, we would find the benefit of it. There is much benefit. Children, who's in my Titus class? Raise your hand. All right. Does it talk about when we do the good deeds God has said, what does it say in Titus chapter 2? It is good and profitable. It's beneficial to apply God's word. We're not saved by good deeds. We're not saved by good deeds. Titus chapter 3, we're not saved by good deeds. But it is good and profitable. It's beneficial to apply His good deeds. He has saved you, as Ephesians says, for good works. We will find much more joy and peace and satisfaction in living out His truths. Too many people think that I'll just pray a prayer, I'll get Christ in my life, I've got Him as my life insurance, and then I go about my day and live like I want to, expecting God to keep the punishments or the consequences at bay from my actions. Should God keep the consequences at bay for your actions that are wrong? No, you know what? God even says He disciplines those He loves to put you back on the right track. Following His principles, obeying His word, loving it and applying it, it's for your good. Too many people think that the Bible upsets their lifestyle or it's going to take away so many freedoms. Do you realize how much freedom is in the Scriptures? I mean, let's just take the top 10. We got the top 10 commandments, right? God gives it the list. And He tells you, do not murder. Oh, man, why? What about that? Well, we don't question that, do we? And Jesus said what? Even to hate your brother is like murder. Oh, well, I might be guilty of that. Why does He hold that against us? Isn't there a benefit to being in a position of love as opposed to a position of hate, a position of murder? How many of you want to be hated? How many of you want to be murdered? No volunteers here. So you notice that command is there both for your benefit to love others and to be loved back. How many of you are signing up for adultery? Or, coveting? All these commands are there for your good. For your good. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are for your good. You want peace? Maybe you ought to start there. How am I following God's word that I already know? Are we applying it? And would I find more peace in my day if I applied God's word? Maybe just question yourself, how much time do I spend in God's word? One of the greatest tools of our day is the internet. Almost, probably 99% of you are on the internet. Doesn't matter your age, you're on the internet. You're able to find resources, find your email, all that kind of stuff. It's a great tool. How many of you have been guilty, though, of getting on there just to check your email and end up getting caught into some kind of news thing, and then you went from this link to that link, and an hour later, you just went up there to check your Facebook status, and then all of a sudden, an hour later, you're in this world of somewhere else. None of it's sinful in the sense of what you've seen, But you're off in another world. And you spend an hour, and what do you got to show for it? Nothing. Well, have you read the Bible today? Have you prayed? Have you spent time with your family today? Well, man, I don't have any time. Man, I'm too busy. I'm too stressed out. I don't got time to sit down. I'm thinking maybe I ought to just say, you know what? I'm not going to check my email today. Could you imagine that? Some of you can't. In 1983, the stressed out decade, they didn't have email. Sometimes we get so addicted to things. I wish we'd just get addicted to God and His Word. And maybe we'd find more peace in our life. I mean, this isn't new. People in the first century didn't have email or cell phones. They found other things to be stressed out about. All right, obey God's principles. You know, this past week, just give you an example. Past week, driving down the road, I turned my turn signal on, and it doesn't go. It wasn't flashing, wasn't doing anything. And so I had to pull out the owner's manual and figure out what to do with this thing, and because I was a little fearful that I was going to have to take it to the shop. But realized there's just some fuses that go out. And I went up here to the Napa store and got some fuses, and it said in bold print in the owner's manual, make sure that you put in the same fuse amps that you've taken out. Otherwise, you could start a fire. I thought, I don't know about that. So I did test this out. I took out a 20 and I put in a 30, and smoke happened within 2 seconds in the hood of my truck. It was cool, but I had to pull that out, and I put in my 20 and it worked. But I only knew that because I read the owner's manual. I don't have any clue about vehicles, by the way, because he's learning. But how are you going to know if things go out in your life? How are you going to know how to fix it? You got a great owner's manual. The Bible. It's not just there's an owner's manual, it's there to reveal God. Realize that. But if something's broken in your life, where do you go to find the answers and to apply it? And make sure you're putting in the right things in the right places, otherwise you may burn up. Anyway, obey God's principles. Accept God's pardon. Accept God's pardon. How many of you have been guilty of overdue books at the library? You know, go ahead and confess it now. You know, days. How about, you know, you rented a movie from the Blockbuster or someplace and you've kept it a little longer and had fines because of that. That's why most people went to Netflix, so you don't have fines. Now you just keep movies for 30 days and never watch them. All right? So there is this. I was reading an article about a man. There's several on the internet. If you put in overdue fines and type in the word guilt, you will find dozens of stories of people who've had library books for 10, 15, 25. One guy had one for 99 years. It was actually his mother's. He found it. He kept it and then felt guilty and returned the library book. A guy in Arizona had it in 1959. He was at school. He checked out books. His family moved. And in 2009, he returned, returned two books with a $1,000 check, hoping that would have paid the fine for those books for however many long years that is. Is that 50 years? Yeah, a long time. He returned it because of guilt. Guilt. He said, I need a peace. It's not only in these little things. There was a man in Arizona, I read this news, in December, who appears at the Phoenix police station, 3:30 in the afternoon on a Friday, and he turns himself in and says, I've murdered somebody. What happened? When was this? 21 years ago. I robbed somebody. I shot them. I killed them. After that, I moved to California. I was never caught. But since then, I've given my life to Christ. I've made peace with God. And I wanted to confess this to where it is, you know, to the place. Of course, they put him in jail, and he's going through trials even right now. But can you imagine that weighing on his heart his entire life, 21 years of holding this in, giving his life to Christ and feeling free? Even though he may go to jail, he could face the death penalty for his confessed sin. That's better than harboring the guilt that he had for so many years. He's found peace. He says, I needed peace in my life. And after giving his life to God, he's now confessed that. Accepting God's pardon. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity? He pardons our sin. And passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. It may just be true in your life if you continue to find yourself lacking peace, and though you look around, you find everything's right in your life, but there's still something that's weighing you down. I wonder if there's unconfessed sin in your life that you've tried to suppress. And you just need to get that out, because it will weigh on your soul. God may have already forgiven you for that, but it's weighing in there and you just haven't confessed that. Confession does much for the soul. And God will forgive you. It will give you peace. So obey God's principles, accept God's pardon. Here's the third area. Focus on God's presence. Focus on God's presence. Isaiah 26:3 tells us that the steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace. Your steadfast mind, God will keep in perfect peace because He trusts in you. The steadfast mind, the man who focuses on God, will receive perfect peace because he trusts in God. This last Christmas, we got this Wii program, this Wii video game thing where you're doing all kinds of activities. Anybody here have a Wii? It's fun. We got the Wii Fit thing too, so we wouldn't feel guilty about playing video games. It actually is a workout type thing. But it has this cool thing on it, and I like it. It's Wii juggling. Have you seen this juggling thing? You stand on this little whiteboard, and it's supposed to balance or show you whether you're balanced or not. And on this Wii juggling thing, on this Wii Fit, it's cool. You're standing on this beach ball, and two of your relatives who have these little Mii characters throw balls at you, and you begin to juggle. And I like to juggle. I can juggle in real life, so I wanted to juggle on the computer. So I'm doing this, and if I'm leaning to the left, my whole Wii character begins to fall off his little beach ball. If I lean to the right, and I tell you what, you don't have to lean very much before you're almost falling off on this thing. So they throw the ball, and you're juggling. If you get really good, you get three balls, and then you can get up to five balls on this thing. And, I mean, you're taking off, and I mean, you're sweating on this thing. It's cool. All right. So they're throwing the balls at you. Well, once you have three balls, in order to get to the five balls, they throw bombs at you. I don't know how this is fun. But these two bombs come out of nowhere and then land right on the side. So that means you have to be super balanced right in the center while you're juggling three balls. And of course, you're shifting weight all the time. But if you're just over to the right a little bit or over to the left a little bit, you will get hit by the bomb, be thrown off your ball. You lose all the balls you're juggling, and you have to start from scratch. And you've only got so much time. So the first couple times I'm playing this and these bombs come out of nowhere because I'm thinking I'm doing good, I get bumped off. And I get bumped off. And then I realized why I was getting bumped off. Guess what I was looking at when the bombs are coming? The bombs. Because like, oh my, what am I going to do? And you know where I'd always lean? Towards the bomb I was looking at. You ever do this in your car? You're driving and also, whoa. Oh, where your focus is where you go. Now I figured out this bomb thing. I don't look at them. I look at my two hands, and as soon as the balls come down, I flip up when I need to flip up. And now I can get past all those bombs because I'm focused on what I'm doing. And God says, he whose mind is steadfast on him, he has perfect peace. He's going to give you all the peace you need when your focus is completely on him. Here's our problem. When the bombs come in our lives, we end up shifting and we end up getting right in the mix of it instead of focusing right on where he is. You're juggling a lot of things in your life. Where are you focused? Psalm 46:1 tells us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Here's a little poem. I thought it was good. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to Christ, you'll be at rest. Some wisdom there. Psalm 46, verse 10 tells us this. In the New American Standard, the new updated version of New American Standard, it says this, "Cease striving and know that I am God." The old translation said, "Be still." Either of those would be good. Cease striving, be still, and know that I am God. I wonder if sometimes we lack peace because we have failed to be still. We have failed to cease striving. to continue to press forward in the midst of it without taking a heart check and realizing that God is there and real. Following His principles and accepting His pardon and realizing He is there in the presence. We are in His presence. We walk on holy ground. How often do you pause to pray and refocus on Him? You could do this all day long, you know. Sometimes people take a smoke break. Some people, stop and just take a snack break or a coffee break. How often do you stop during your day and take a prayer break? To refocus on Him, being still and know that He is God. And He is much larger and more mighty than anything you're encountering in your life. It's part of your peace gift that Jesus promises. Here's the fourth thing. Trust in God's purpose. Trust in God's purpose. In the midst of all this, God may have a purpose in this to make you better. Proverbs 3, 5 through 5 and 6, which you're familiar with, I'm sure. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." There are three verbs there for you. Three things you're supposed to do or not do. What are they? Trust, lean not. So if you're not leaning towards your own understanding, you're leaning towards the wisdom of God, which Proverbs would tell you. And then what's the last one? Acknowledge. Trusting and leaning and acknowledging Him is your task. His task and His verb is what? He will make your path straight. Guess what? You cannot make your path straight. You can, as much as you try, and some of you continue to try to rework it, rework it, rework it, rework it, rework it, rework it, rework it. If you're getting tired of me saying that, maybe God's tired of you trying to figure it all out on your own. You're leaning on your own understanding, trying to figure it all out yourself. And He tells you to do three things. Trust, lean not on your own understanding, therefore the opposite would be to lean on His wisdom, and to acknowledge Him in the midst of this. Maybe God has a purpose for all of this. To move beyond the why and the when and the how kind of questions. And just sitting back going, God, whatever you called me to, I will trust. Trust comes in when we have no control. 10-month-old baby, throw him around, throw him up in the air. My wife hates when I do that, but I throw them up in the air and I catch them, and the baby just laughs and laughs. Why? Because the baby has complete trust. He or she doesn't realize that you could drop them and kill them, you know. They just have complete trust. But somehow later on, they start to be a little more self-confident and less confident maybe in you. And so, you know, if I were to take my 10-year-old son and throw him up in the air, he'd be, because he doesn't know if I can catch him. He doesn't know if he can trust me. The older we've gotten, have we gotten less trust in God? How many 5-year-olds love Jesus? How many of them trust Jesus? How many 15-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 55-year-olds trust Jesus? We love Jesus. The question is, do we trust Him? Do we trust Him? Do we lean on Him? Do we acknowledge Him and realize He is the one to make the paths straight? Does God ever say, uh-oh, or oops? Didn't see that one coming. He's well ahead of you. And so if you can grasp Proverbs in its complexity and its simplicity, moving beyond our own limited control and just trusting Him, maybe we could be like Paul when he says in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content." Would you just say that phrase right there? I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. That comes because of trusting. That comes because of leaning not on his own understanding. That comes from not trying to set his own course. That comes from acknowledging God. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Verse 12 says, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And here's the verse people quote, but I wonder if they do it within the context it was written. This last verse says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's written in this sense. Whatever circumstances you're in, you're trusting God, you're acknowledging him, you're not leaning on your own understanding, you can be totally content because of who God is. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You remember Jesus in Luke chapter 8, when the storm came up on the boat, Jesus said, let's get in the boat, we have to go across the sea. And the storm came up, and the guys are going crazy. And do you remember where Jesus was during all this wild storm? Asleep in the boat. How in the world, during a major storm, a catastrophic storm, is Jesus asleep? He has perfect peace. He doesn't have to worry. Well, remember, Peter was one of the anxious ones in the boat. A little anxious and worried, and he focused on the storm some, and not quite sure what to do. Did Peter ever come to the point of learning to be content in whatever the circumstances? Yes, he did. Let me show you in Scripture. You know where Peter was before Christ died in the resurrection, and then afterwards, Peter was thrown in jail. Oftentimes he'd be arrested, but he was thrown in jail in Acts chapter 12. And while he's chained to two guards, while James, the brother of John, had already been murdered by Herod, and Herod was going to kill Peter probably the next day. Peter's in jail, chained to two guards, and he was asleep. He was so much asleep that when the angel arrived, the angel had to hit him on the side and wake him up, really shake him. He was in a deep sleep, and when you're in a deep sleep, that tells you a lot about the state of your peace, doesn't it? You love deep sleep. When you wake up rested because you went all the way to the third heaven or whatever it's called, you know. People who are a little anxious don't get good sleep. They're up all the time. He was asleep. Tells you Peter had learned a lot since those days in the boat. Intense pressure. You could be murdered tomorrow. I'm going to sleep. Why? Because God directs the paths. God sets your future. You do all you can for the glory of God and let God take care of the rest. So trusting in God's purpose. Here's the fifth thing. Ask for God's peace. It's as simple as this, asking for God's peace. It's a gift. He wants to give it to you. He does give it to you. He wants you to focus on him. He wants you to obey his principles. But you ask for God's peace. Maybe you lack peace because you haven't asked for it. You have not because you ask not, James tells us. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In verse 7, it tells us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Which comes first, prayer or peace? Prayer, verse 6. Peace, verse 7. Why don't you have peace? Maybe you're not connected to the Father. In all things, you're praying. You're giving supplication. You're with thanksgiving. You're begging God, God, I cannot do all things without you. I must have you. I ask you for peace. And the peace of God surpasses all understanding, all comprehension. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds. Your heart that need not be troubled. Your mind that is connected to His Word and His promise. Our minds get into a big mess when we begin to focus on the craziness of life and off of His promise. These verses are true. These verses are comforting. So what is your biggest fear? What is your biggest worry, your biggest concern? What seems to get more attention from you than the peace of Christ? Loneliness? Failure? Death of you or a loved one? Illness? Change? Job loss? Surgery? just another person, finances, guilt, new responsibilities. Maybe you could add many other thoughts. What is it that seems to get you off the focus of the peace of Christ and onto something else? Maybe today you'd ask Him for the peace that passes all understanding and comprehension. Let's say this verse together, 1 Peter 5:7. Put it up on the screen. And it does use the word anxiety. This is the New American Standard. Many translations do say care. But let's read it the way it's written here. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You internalize that thought. God does really care. He cares more about you and your concerns than even you do. As much as the burdens and the weight is on you, as much as your mind can't fully comprehend all of the complexity of your difficulties, God cares for you. And He has you right where you are on purpose. Because He loves you and wants your attention. He wants your attention. Because He's the only one that can provide peace. And He will provide that. Eternity. No one else can. No one else can.